Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, nurture our growth as people of repentance and peace. Bless these words proclaimed, and by your Spirit, accompany our longings and our hope. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. This second Sunday in Advent, when the secular world on the surface seems well on the way to joy and Christmas cheer, the kind you only find at this merry time of year, we Christians around the globe are invited to remain a bit more quiet, a bit more reflective, a bit more hopeful in our outlook on the world. We're invited to take stock of our lives and to recognize all the times and places we have been in need of God's grace or have been a part of God's grace for others, breaking in at an unexpected hour into our lives, any moment now. But here, breaking into our readings on this second Sunday of Advent, we have that old, embarrassing relative, John the Baptist, yelling from our Anglican steeples, "Repent, repent!" This voice in the wilderness crying out to us across the ages as we try to ignore him and carry on with our Christmas shopping and our cookie baking and digging the tree ornaments out and untangling the lights. It does feel cozy and comfortable when the decorations are finally up, and the pretty lights of our neighbors' homes and our municipal decorations feel festive. I think so, anyways. But there's that uncomfortable voice, the one of the Baptist, that strange man with strange clothes that seems a relic of days before, a reminder, a warning of the turning of ages. A world that has ended and a world that is yet to come. He stands at the Jordan offering a baptism, a preparation for the way of the Lord into our lives this very day. The Baptist proclaims, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And crowds from Jerusalem and the surrounding areas flock to hear John and to be baptized in the Jordan. What on earth could we be seeking or desperately be yearning for as we gather with the crowds to hear this strange man? Because perhaps we've become disheartened by the quality of our lives and we welcome a call for change. Perhaps we see what's going on in the world today and we know that things are kind of out of alignment. Maybe we feel a little sideswiped by a diagnosis or a loss that has left us wondering what is on the horizon and wondering if we're headed in the right direction. Repent, says John the Baptist. Turn around. Let go. Now, theologian Marcus Borg and Dominique Crossan point out that the biblical understanding of the term repent, as bad or as uncomfortable as that word might seem, it is a word that is deeply shaped by the Jewish experience of exile. To repent, to return, is to follow the prepared way of the Lord that leads us out of separation and back into reconnection with the God who made us and who loves us beyond our understanding. It isn't a wonder, as we human beings living in this day and age, experience a yearning that we cannot quite describe. There are indeed things in our lives and in our world today that can leave us feeling quite powerless. Now, John is out in the wilderness, far away from places of power. He sees the world through the lens of wilderness experience and calls to mind the fact that God's people endured the wilderness with all of its confusion and ill will and fear and foolishness as they fled from Pharaoh's tyranny. For years they struggled with God's call on their lives, often abusing it with their own disobedience. John the Baptist today is that wake-up call of a man who won't stop reminding us of the reality of our disconnection with God, despite all that comes from God's glorious leading. He risks the traumas the wilderness may bring. The wilderness is a place where death is all too close, where food is scarce. Probably not a wonder his rations are locusts and wild honey. Perhaps venturing into the wilderness to be with John reminds the crowd and all of us with them of our ancient ancestors, of their struggles, and of our own joining in with them, allowing us to hear John's call to repent as more of an invitation than a judgment, as an invitation to come home to our God, who has been part of our past and prepares the way of our future. Beloved, repent, turn around, let go, come home. And why should we do this? Why should we come home to a God who would leave us out in the wilderness of our lives, wondering and waiting and hoping and praying? Who amongst us hasn't been worried about test results or the details of a funeral? Who amongst us hasn't watched younger generations struggle to make ends meet in a way that, if we're honest with ourselves, know that we've never had to? Who amongst us isn't worried about the Earth's climate? And who amongst us isn't dreading the day when the things and the people that we hold so dearly will slip away because we know that nothing is certain and nothing is forever? We are a people who need to come home time and time again to be assured that there is hope in our future and to be assured that God has been part of the history of our humanity, that God is most certainly part of our future as well. Why would we do this? Could it be that God's beloved claim on our very lives is so irrefutable that sometimes we just can't help it but to hope? Prepare ye the way. Repent. To what purpose? Well, the Baptist assures us it's because for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven is right now. The kingdom of heaven is yet to come, and the kingdom of heaven is breaking into our lives this very moment. Where is it in our lives that we sense that the kingdom is close at hand? Where is it that we see that God is with us, even into the places that we don't know yet? Now, I think of when I met this congregation almost 2 years ago, it was a very different place. I wasn't expecting to serve as your pastor, nor was I expecting to serve in the Anglican Church, and you were not expecting to call a wet-behind-the-ears Lutheran ordained with two bishops present, just in case. And yet, as Ed Bennington put it when he served as bishop's warden, we met together halfway, with high hopes for the future. And look at where we've come. In 4 days, it'll be 2 years since we've been journeying together, with one hand on the past, which is good and right after all. To forget the history of this congregation would not be of service to this parish, nor would it be to the wider Machozen community. For the richness of our past holds gifts of God's promises. But I get the sense that we're not clinging, to the past, nor do we see it as a good thing to have such a tight grip on the things of old that we are unable to trust our future. Repent. Let go. Come home. We trust that the kingdom of God is nearby and that God has a new vision for the whole world, and that includes this parish in Machozen. A new way in a new time that involves every single one of us into a kairos moment of God's breaking into our lives and the lives of our neighbors around us. God is breaking into our world that can sometimes seem like wilderness. And yet, every week, we gather around our ancient texts and ask ourselves, what is God calling out into the world even still, even now? John the Baptist comes to remind us today that in the odd economy of God's grace, as we find it in Scripture, in the ancestors of the wilderness, in the people of Israel, in the promises of a Messiah, and the stories of our faith, and also in the historic conversation between John Witte and James Douglas that resulted in the building of this third oldest Anglican parish on Vancouver Island. John the Baptist, in his weird garb and his prophetic voice, reminds us that we look back only to look forward, and that the Jesus we wait for in the future was already planned for in God's past. What could God be calling us into next? As we hear the shouts of the invitation from John the Baptist, fresh from his wanderings along Bilston Creek, prepare ye the way, repent, let go, come home. Come home to the waters of our baptism where God has claimed us and holds our lives tight. Come home to this heavenly meal at God's table where no one is excluded, for the table has been set and the way has been prepared, past, present, and future. Come home to our God who expects us as much as we expect divine and small and vulnerable beginnings that grow. We come home to our God together. Amen.